I can't think of a better place to be than Houston. The Lord's people, by the way, with all of our faults, we're still the best people in the world. Not that we are proud, but we are the best people in the world. And the Lord is in the midst. What a gathering. You talk about society and clubs and sororities and all these other things that people have. There's nothing like what we have. Now let us continue our study, which we began some time ago. Spiritual counterfeits. Spiritual fakers. And there are a lot of them. You hear them on the radio, you hear them on the air. And you also see them in the Congress of the United States, of all places. Book of Revelation, please, chapter 2. Spiritual counterfeits. Book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 2. I know thy works. Oh, we spoke about that some time ago. The knowledge of the Lord. What knowledge he has. He knows what I'm going to say before I say it. But more than that, he knows what I'm going to think before I think it. Can you figure that out? I know, says the Lord, thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. Spiritual counterfeits. Verse 9. I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. Again, spiritual counterfeits. But are the synagogue of Satan. We looked in the beginning of our study, and we saw that spiritual counterfeits can be determined by their reaction to the Word of God. And most of them alter the Word of God. Change the Word of God to suit themselves. Then we saw that you can tell a spiritual counterfeit, and we asked ourselves two questions for testing spiritual counterfeits. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22 for our two questions. Matthew chapter 22, verse 42. Let's start at verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And those two questions determine our eternal destiny. What do we think of Christ? And when you ask a person and you get an answer from him, you know exactly what his future is. Now we looked at that question. Tonight we want to look at the second part of the question. Whose son is he? Whose son is the Lord Jesus Christ? When I first came to Maryland, Brother Willie Myers, now with the Lord, asked me to share in prison ministry with him. And the first night I went to the prison, my text was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when I read that far, one of the inmates got up and said, I don't see how God could have a son he didn't have a wife. How would you answer that? I don't see how God could have a son he didn't have a wife. Let's look into that. Let's look at a few scriptures indicating that son does not always mean that you have an earthly or physical father. Deuteronomy chapter 13, We're attempting to define sun. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 13. Now you know my habit. We turn to a lot of scriptures. Turn with me. And thrill with me. Enjoy these scriptures. Deuteronomy 13, verse 13. Certain men, the children of Belial. Now let me stop here. Most dictionaries, this word is pronounced Belial. But there is one dictionary in which the word is pronounced Belial. And I was brought up with that pronunciation. So bear with me tonight. Certain men, the children of Belial. Judges chapter 19. Judges chapter 19. Verse 22. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, sons of Belial. Chapter 20, please. Verse 13. Now therefore deliver us the men, children of Belial. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 16. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Chapter 2. Verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Who is this Belial? Let's read a little further. 1 Samuel, please. Chapter 1, verse 16. Chapter 1, verse 16. Count not thy handmaid for the daughter of Belial. This fellow Belial had daughters and he had sons. For the sake of time, chapter 25, please. Verse 17. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial. Verse 25. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial. Now, when you go home, you read all the rest of the references to Belial. Who is this son of Belial? Who's Belial? There was no living person known as Belial. Belial was not a person. And when we say, like Belial, the thought is one who has characteristics of Belial. But Belial was not a human being. And what were his characteristics? He was wicked. He was worthless. He was lawless. He was anti-God. And to put it very mildly, he was a good for nothing. So that when one is called a son of Belial, doesn't mean that he's a physical son. It means he has the characteristics of Belial. Whose son is the Lord Jesus Christ? As this young man said, God didn't have a wife. Whose son was he? What does son mean? Son means that he has all the characteristics of God the Father. Let's look at some scriptural examples. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 19. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Now note, wisdom is justified of her children. Whose wisdom? Is there a person, a lady, a woman named Wisdom, or a man named Wisdom? Read on with me, please. Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. Wisdom is justified of her children. Wisdom has children. Mark chapter 3, verse 17. Let's start with verse 13. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto them whom he would, and they came unto him. He appointed 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Simon he surnamed Peter, note thou. James the son of Zebedee and John the brother of James, he surnamed them Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Did the thunder give birth to these children? Sons of thunder. What does that mean? They were forceful in their behavior. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 6. If the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon you. The Son of Peace. Whose peace? Is he a man or a woman? The Son of Peace. Sons of Thunder. What does it mean? It means that he was characterized by a peaceful disposition. Now when you apply that to the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we get? He was in every characteristic just like God the Father. No father, no mother, naturally speaking. He partook of all the characteristics of his Father. Let's look at a few scriptures in which we read of the Son of God. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 17. Lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father's well-beloved Son. Remember, the Father didn't have a wife. What does it mean? That the Son was characterized by everything that characterized the Father. Chapter 4. Verse 3. Well, let's start at verse 1. Then was Jesus led up the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, Now that is not the if of condition. That's the if of certainty. And might read, since you are the Son of God. The devil knew who he was. The Son of God. Chapter 8, please. Verse 29. The demons. Behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? And we read many references. When you go home, look them up. Where the Lord is referred to as Son of God. And it does not mean that the Father came first and the Son came after. It means that every characteristic of the Father, the Son also possessed. Let's confirm that. Gospel of John, chapter 10. Gospel of John, chapter 10. Verse 30. The Lord is speaking and he says, I and my Father are one. Everything that's true of the Father is true of the Son. That's where his sonship comes in. John chapter 14 and verse 5, or rather, verse 8, I'm sorry. Let's start at verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Now, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet you hast not known me, Philip? Now notice. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Son and Father. Not Father first. Father and Son by reason of their characteristics. John 14. Verses 8 and 9. I'm sorry, we just read those. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We are interested in verse 3, but let's start at verse 1 to get the connection. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in the person of his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now verse 3. Who being the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. Oh my. That's a beautiful expression. He is the exact representation of God. Have you ever heard the expression like Father, like Son? Like Father, like Son. That's what that means. The mirror image of the Father. That's what Son means when applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. The exact expression. Some time ago, well, many years ago really, I was in a clinic, head and neck clinic. And this man came in with three children. And I said, good morning. Yes. How can I help you? My children talk funny. And I talked to him for a while. and I spoke to his son, the first daughter, and the second daughter. And what do you think I found? What do you think I found? They talk just like the father. And he's complaining. The son is the exact image of the father. The father and the son are co-equal. What's true of one is true of the other. Interesting fact. The father and the son were the same age. Did you know that? Isaiah chapter 9. The father and the son were the same age. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6. Note how beautifully the Bible reads. Every word has its own meaning. Unto us a child is born, referring to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ through Mary. But notice the second sentence, unto us a son is given. Not born, given. Where was he? With the Father in eternity. As I say, I don't know how you feel about it, but to me such thoughts are thrilling. A child was born, but a son was given. Let's read on. The government shall be upon him. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. That's the name of the Son. Everlasting Father. I like the reading of Rotherham and Darby. You know how they read? The Father of Everlasting. Can you figure that out? When did Everlasting start? Well, he's the father of it. Everlasting had no start. Now, don't try to figure it out. Just enjoy it. You can't figure out that. The Lord Jesus Christ is the father of everlasting. But everlasting had no beginning. You talk about advanced learning. Well, this is advanced learning. And as I say, you don't try to figure it out. You just accept it. And enjoy it. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 1. The Father of Everlasting. What a statement. Hebrews 7 verse 1. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, prince of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being my interpretation, king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of grace. Now, without father, without mother, without genealogy, he didn't come from anybody, but didn't come from anybody. Having neither beginning of days, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. How do you like that, beloved? No beginning. How do you figure that out? He had no beginning, he always was. As I say, don't try to figure it out, just enjoy it. He's our Lord. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? As I mentioned before, the father and the son are the same age. The father was never stronger than the son. ticket when you go home. By the way, the Father was never wiser than the Son, because the Son was God from the very start. Who's the Son? The Father never sent the Son to school. How about that? My dad sent me to school, and I needed it. But God the Father never sent God the Son to school. The Son knew as much as the Father. The Son was co-equal with the Father, co-eternal with the Father, and co-substantial with the Father. Whatever comes true of the Father was true of the Son. I'm thinking of something. Have you ever heard of a carbon copy of something? Sure you have. You have a sheet of paper, put a carbon piece under it, and another sheet of it, and whatever is on the first sheet is on the carbon copy. That's the relationship between God and Son. Whatever is true of one is true of the other. Whose Son is he? And now I have a question. We're getting near the end. Psalm 22. The Son was the exact replica of the Father. He was the stamp of the Father. Brother George here on Sunday has a stamp that he uses for business purpose. And the children like to come up to have that stamp applied to them. Whatever is on that stamp is on their hand. Exact replica. The Son is the exact replica of the Father. What's true of one is true of the other. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 46. The same expression. Verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? What did he do? He was like the Father. He could say, I always pleased the Father. Everything that the Father did, he did. Why did the Lord forsake him? What did he do to make the Father forsake him? The book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. Book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. Verse 13. Speaking of God, Father, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not countenance iniquity. God cannot countenance iniquity. When the Lord was on the cross of Calvary, and then in those three dark hours, we read in 1 Peter that the Lord laid upon him the sins of us all. Isaiah chapter 53, he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. But we just read that the Lord cannot countenance it. He cannot look upon iniquity. That's why he forsook his Son. Because he was bearing in his body my sin and your sin. Whose Son is he? What do we think of him? Aren't we grateful to him? forsaken by his father, not for anything that he did, but for my sake and your sake. And here we are in this gathering, children of God, because he was forsaken. I'm finished. In the will of God, we will go on to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ as Jehovah. That's a beautiful, well, they're all beautiful studies. But read with me first, 1 John chapter 4. How important is it that we understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is? 1 John chapter 4. Verses 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. We saw that last time. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And there are a lot of those spirits around. Oh, he was just another man. Oh, a nice man. A very fine man. He was a moral man. But he wasn't the Son of God. 2 John, please. Chapter 7. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And that's how you test spiritual confidence. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Son of God, very God himself. All that characterized God characterized him. And he bore our sin in his body on the tree. And his father forsook him, not because he did anything, but for my sake, as he bore my sins. How does that make you feel? How does it make you feel? Don't you just rejoice in the Lord and thank him for what he has done? Number 105. Son of God, 'twas love that made thee die out ruined souls to sin. 'Twas our sin's vast load that laid thee, Lord of life within the grave. But thy glorious resurrection showed thee conqueror o'er the tomb. So the saints by thy protection through thy work have overcome. Do we know this? All right, fine. The last verse, Son of God, with joy we praise thee. Oh, don't you just praise the Son of God for who he is and for what he has done. On the Father's throne above, all thy wondrous work display thee, full of grace and full of love. Lord, accept our adoration. For our sins thou once wast slain. Through thy blood we have salvation. Soon shall share thy endless reign. 105.